Good evening, everyone.
Thank you, Sister Bubbly. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to TNT Bible Study. I am your teacher, the Reverend Dr. Bishop Pope Prophet Lavelle W. Jones. Is there any first-time callers on the line? No? All right. Listen. As I shared with Bubbly earlier, for those of you who didn't hear, my kids are at the Apple store, and I still have to be father, even though I'm teaching Bible study. So they are going to call in, and when I say hold on, that means I'm going to click over to them, and I need you guys to discuss what we've already discussed. Is that fair? Can y'all do that? Brother Eric, Sister Dee Dee, can y'all kind of do that for me? Please, all right? All right. Okay. Let's pray. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said okay.
All right. Let's pray. Father, how we bless you and thank you and lift you and magnify. You're God. Beside thee, there is no other. We dare not forget the blood of Jesus and the blood of Calvary, God. We thank you for sparing our lives, allowing us to see this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength, the activities of our limb, God. We pray as we go into your word tonight. Open up our minds. Open up our hearts, God. I pray in the name of Jesus. You said that heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would stand. Bless your word tonight. Sanctify and incorporate it into our lives that we might be a better people as a result of your word. Not our will, but thine will be done. Whatever you do, don't let us leave the same way we came as we conclude these last 2 weeks in the book of Ephesians. So in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So being spirit-filled at home and at work, somebody needs to check their attitude. Check your attitude, all right? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Is somebody going to read it for me tonight?
I will. Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, hang on just a second. Sorry about that. Okay, you go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonish of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
Amen. So there, let me start off by saying that there are literally two places where the spirit-filled life shows up most, okay? Number one, at home, and number two, at work, okay? I think that's important. Some time ago, I shared with you about getting what you need at the sanctuary and using it in your home. The problem is what we get at church, it needs to be used at home and at work. And so it's important how we live when we're at home, because remember, you can be the best soul winner at your house, because you don't have to necessarily go knock on doors down the street and all that. You can be the best soul winner in your house, because most of the time all you ought to do is turn over in the bed, because you just might be sleeping with a sinner, right? And then we have to check our attitude at work. And that's why I pray every morning to let my light shine before men. They may see my good work and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. All right? All right. Dee Dee, can you grab a scripture for me real quick? Deuteronomy 5 and 16. Just park it right there. Deuteronomy 5 and 16. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm getting ready, but I get it. Deuteronomy what? 5:16?
5:16, all right?
Okay, give me a second.
Okay, so I'll call on you when I need it. Okay, so remember in the previous passage last week, we learned about the spirit-filled husband-wife relationship and how husbands ought to love their wives and how wives ought to love their husbands. This passage is about living the spiritual lives in our homes and at work, and it contains God's word to children, parents, employees, and employers. Okay, so let's look at it. The first thing, my first point tonight is God's word to children in verses 1 through 3, because All right. So God's word to children, because Paul begins the section, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's verse 1. And the word children literally refers to the children that are still living at home. But now, don't fool yourself. Don't you still mistreat mom and daddy. If your mom and daddy are still living, you still ought not mistreat them, okay? They are to obey their parents in the Lord. And this means if a parent tells a child to do something sinful, immoral, or unethical, understand that God's law still supersedes, all right? When you get a chance, look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. When you get a chance, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Otherwise, children are to obey Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, and it says to obey their parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Wow. And that's what we want to do. We want to please God. So next Paul quotes the fifth commandment. In verse 2 he says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Obeying and honoring our parents are not the same thing. Okay? I'll say that again. Obeying and honoring our parents are not the same thing. Obey means to listen with intent of doing. Let me rewind that tape. I said, obey means to listen with the intent of doing, and the word translated honor means to highly value or to treat with respect and dignity. So taken together, to obey and honor means obeying with a respectful attitude. I don't know about y'all, but I don't get an attitude with my mama. Maybe when I was younger, I did. But, you know, those were growing pains. But there's some things that my mama may say to me or whatnot. You know, I take it with a grain of salt. Even there's some things that I don't like that she say, I take it with a grain of salt, because the bottom line, she's still mama. And the truth of the matter is your children don't like everything you tell them. But the bottom line, you are still the parent. And then you have to be the parent. Stop treating your daughter like she's your buddy. Stop treating your son like he's your little homie. Your daughter, your child don't need no homie or no buddy. They need a mama, they need a daddy. That's what they need. You know, I think that's so important for us to understand and for us to realize that we grow up and be the parent. We need to be the parent. All right? So, in verse 3, Paul gives the reason for honoring and obeying our parents by quoting Deuteronomy 5 and 16. And what is it, Dee Dee?
It says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you.
Thank you so much. Now, many of us would not even be here today if we had been allowed to disobey our parents. I know I wouldn't, because you couldn't just talk to Sister Jones any old kind of way, because Sister Jones would have slapped you into the week after next. And I know they've gone crazy with this thing called child abuse. But let me tell y'all something. If it was child abuse when I was coming up, my mama would have had the electric chair by now. She should have been in jail with no bail, no parole for the rest of her life if that was the case. If it was child abuse when I came up. My mama made it clear that if you lived in my house, you're going to abide by my rules. And my mama made it plain to me that I didn't have no bed. I didn't have no clothes. My mama taught me often the bed you're going to sleep in belong to me. The clothes you put on belong to me. The food you're going to eat belong to me. And she told me, if you that grown, you need to pack something up and get up out of here because two grown folk can't be up here at the same time. Matter of fact, you can't pack nothing up because you ain't worked for nothing, and I bought everything. So, therefore, you can't take nothing with you. Did anybody grow up like I grew up? Did y'all know my mama?
My mama, her sister.
I like my mama.
My mama and my daddy. Believe that.
I know that's right. I know that's right. I laugh and I marvel at kids who are disobedient to their parents and the parents allow it and stuff. I just sit there with my mouth open, boy. My daddy would have shot me dead on the spot. My daddy would have blew me away and waited and called the police himself to come get him. So many of us wouldn't be here today if we had been allowed to disobey our parents. Did your parents tell you not to play in the street, or did they tell you to go play in the street? I mean, our parents taught us not to play with matches. Not to eat too fast, or we would choke. Not to swim in deep water. I mean, they told us so many things, and I remember that I couldn't do the things that the other fellas were doing and all of that, and I couldn't understand for the life of me why my daddy wouldn't let me do it. But one thing came true. He told me. He said, "Son, keep on living, and one day you're gonna discover what I'm trying to do." Wow. And a child who obeys his or her parent will likely enjoy long life because he or she is far more likely to develop the healthy, safe habits that contribute to a good long life. And the Bible makes it clear by obeying your parent, right? Teenagers especially need to remember who chose their parents, and it was nobody but God. God chose your parents, and in your mother's womb, He took 23 chromosomes from each parent, knitting them together to give us exactly the traits we needed to fulfill his will for our life. When you get a chance, go to Psalm 139 and verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse 13. I'll just give you some reference scripture. So when you put your parents down, what you're literally doing is putting God down. Wow, I know some of our parents need to, some of our children need to be on this call tonight and hear that. You didn't choose your parents, but remember, your parents didn't choose you either. So a spirit-filled child respectfully obeys his or her parent. All right? That was my first point. Any questions, any comments? I thought y'all would be rushing to talk about this. About
I was trying to get off mute. I was trying to get off mute. When you said the thing about the parents and about we didn't even, well, for me when I was coming up, and I just thought about it, I don't even think we even thought that kind of stuff back then. I don't. I really don't. But, you know, because I don't even recall that. And me being almost the youngest at the tail end, maybe I was me. Maybe the mother was me, but that never crossed my mind. Run away from home, not listen to them. I had two sisters over me. They showed me what not to do. So, and honoring them, I'll be honest and say, toward the end, as I got older and so on and so forth, I didn't honor my mother like I should have. But no, I can't change that. Me and God got that worked out, and He's forgiven me. And I know, I don't want to say, well, you know, that the way I treated my mom or treat her is maybe may come fall back on me later on. But with my kids, I pray that's not the case. But you just have to keep that thought when you get older about the way to, how you should honor your parents, whether you don't agree or disagree with what their thought and what they say. That's all.
Right, Brother Eric.
Yeah, I think too. I think it wasn't just it was a community of parents too back in my day, and you know because all of the parents did their kids like that, and the expectation of their children was that even if that's not your parent, it's your elder, you got to obey them, and it you know I think you know how we raise our kids as a community, how we operate as communities is far different. For example, I was raising my my bonus two daughters and my bonus son, and I remember this was, you know, they were growing up during a time where you could call DIFAS, you know, or family youth, you know, or whatever they call it down here in California, Child Protective Services. And I remember one time I disciplined one of the daughters, and she called Child Protective Services. Now, the agent who came out was somebody who knew me and who also came from a family of 16 children who was the daughter of a bishop. And so, you know, so she asked them, you know, what had happened and everything. And, you know, she got right down to, you know, he spanked you. Was you bad? And they was like, yeah. Did you deserve it? Yeah. And she closed up the case and said, and don't call me back down here again. So, you know, it was all about because she grew up in the same environment and underneath the same discipline that I did. And a lot of my friends did that, too, who were in the church. And so I think it made a big difference in our communities. As you look at the communities now, there's a vast difference.
Well, Brother Eric, I told my mama one time, if she never whooped me again, I was going to call the police to take her to jail. And I thought I scared her, but she scared me more because her exact words to me was, go ahead. They can't hold me long. I know one thing, you just better not be here when I get home.
Okay, LaBelle. Like, you know what? You know my mama. I love my mama, but I didn't, like Bubbly, I didn't actually understand how important a mother and father is as well, but they're so to cherish it and to be able to spend time with my 75-year-old mother as much as we do, and it's a blessing because I know so many of my peers that parents have gone on to glory, or if they're still alive, they may suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever the case. So just to spend a second with my mom and my dad and Kansas, but I cherish that. But I wanted to say, along with what Brother Eric was saying, when my kids, y'all, for those who know them, I think I did pretty well because of how I was raised. I told the police officers, it was at a basketball game, I told them that they might as well go warm the cart because I was getting ready to get busy with one of my kids, and the officer laughed. But I'm one of those parents like old school. So you can call CPS, you can call whoever, because that's not, I will be respected, so. And I will also not provoke them because it goes two ways. So I love you. Thank you. And I will be dropping off because I'm getting ready to go hear Ashleen at Yoshi. So love you.
Okay. My daddy was so raw. We go to the store to buy a refrigerator, and my daddy would walk in and point at the refrigerator he wanted. He said, we're going to get that one right there. My mama said, well, let's just look around. He said, you can look around all you want to, but we're going to get that one right there. And the salesman showed my mama 15 different refrigerators, but asked me which one we left with. The one my daddy said, we're going to get that one right there. So, my son, was there anybody else? I'm sorry.
Pastor Jones, this is Queen. I just remember, and kind of piggybacking on Brother Eric, you know, how there was a community that raised the kids. But I also remember that I didn't appreciate what my mom told me until I got of age. So, you know, it wasn't until I got to be 21 and got out into the real world that I realized that the discipline that she did was necessary.
Wow.
And then when I had my own child, I was able to instill upon him that same type of discipline that my parents did for me. And like you said, if child abuse was big when I grew up, and I'm probably older than a lot of you, my mom would have been dead a long time ago. So I can appreciate honoring your mother and father.
Right. I appreciate that, Claire, because my mama used to tell me all the time, son, being grown ain't all what it's cracked up to be.
Amen to that.
That's what she used to tell me. Wow. All right, point number two tonight, God's word to parents, verse number four. Because parents are never to be cruel, they're never to be cruel dictators, I should say. That's why Paul writes, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." And the word translated father is literally parents, okay? When you get a chance, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. God's word to parents is not to provoke our children to anger. Children should not be exasperated by unreasonable demands or petty rules by parents or too many rules. The truth of the matter is, parents ought not have petty rules for their children, all right? And they just ought not just be downright mean to their children. Because Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says, parents are not to anger their children lest they become discouraged. Now, I know what the Bible says. My mom would have something totally different to say if I told that to her. Can I get a witness on the line? My mama would probably say something totally different. Okay? So if children are disciplined in unloving, unfair, or irresponsible ways, they'll become bitter, discouraged, and resentful. Now watch this. I've never seen an undisciplined child. I know somebody going to ask me, what do you mean, Pastor? I done seen a whole lot of undisciplined parents, but I ain't seen too many undisciplined children. Because if a child acts a monkey, jumping on church pews, swinging on church lamps, won't sit down, I ain't mad at a child for that. That's how children act. I'm angry of a parent who can't bring their child into discipline. Now, that'll get on my nerves. I can't stand nobody running to my office talking about, Pastor, he's 5 years old, I can't do nothing with him. What the heck you mean you can't do nothing with him? Don't you wear a belt? Take your belt off and be disciplined. The Bible says you shall beat them with a rod. It shall not kill them, but it shall deliver their soul from hell. I didn't know this, but my mama knew it, and that is whoopings were evangelistic. They were part of the evangelistic campaign.
My mom was chief evangelist in that
there. I know that's right.
That's a scripture.
Where's that
scripture
at, Pastor Jones? Because I sure want to find that one.
Which one?
The one you said about the spare some about the rod.
Oh, yeah.
That's Proverbs.
Yes.
Oh, that scripture that everybody's been taking out of context all my life? Okay, now I know what you're talking about, but I didn't know it had all that extra to it, so I've got to go back
I'll get it for you, Bubbly. Because here's a great saying, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. And a common complaint from teenagers is, my parents don't understand me. And I know that's true. And sometimes you gotta sit down with your parent, your children, and you gotta watch some of the television shows they watch. Sometimes you gotta have conversations with them. You gotta dialogue with them. But I mean you gotta understand, it wasn't like we were like when we were all coming up, y'all. Because it's harder today, because today it wasn't that many girls. I mean, it was a couple. It wasn't that many girls getting pregnant in high school when I was coming up, like it is today. You know, it wasn't all of this stuff going on back then. Kids could play outside and play football. Yeah, let me ask y'all a question. When was the last time you saw children playing in the street? Playing touch football or anything like that. Me and Brother Eric can probably can attest to this. We used to play two-hand touch in the middle of the street. But now it's so many video games and all of that with the children. Children don't go outside really no more. They got their phones, their smartphones and all of that. Parents need to remember this principle in Proverbs 24:3, and it says, through wisdom is an house built, is a house built, and by understanding it is established. Understanding our children and grandchildren is essential for not exasperating them. We need to study our kids because every child has a unique God-given temperament. I know myself and LaRonda, we raised three beautiful children, one who's in glory now, one who's 20 years old, and the other one will be 18. Jalen will be 18, and they did great in school and everything and still doing great. Brandon has a great job and going to school, and Jayla has a job, and she's in high school her last year. One thing we needed to understand, each needed unique types of discipline and motivation because each had different personalities. And every child is unique, it just like a fingerprint, and requires wisdom and understanding to raise without exasperating and discouraging them. We used to ask my mama, Mama, who do you love the most? And my mama would say, whoever I'm talking to, that's who I love the most. I thought that was a pretty good answer. Whoever I'm talking to at that time, that's who I love the most. So she covers everybody, okay? So we are never to provoke and discourage our kids, but instead we must bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse 4, the B part, and the word translated nurture refers to discipline or correction. And the word translated admonition, it means to put in the mind. It's the idea of teaching by the word of mouth. And in the area of discipline and training our children, we need to remember Psalms 127, verse 3. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So even though they occasionally irritate and disappoint us, children are a precious gift from the Lord, and are to be loved and cared for according to his sacred word. All right? All right, that was point two. Any questions, any comments on that before I go to the last one?
Hey, Pastor Jones, what was that you said about rules without relationship? Could you repeat that, please?
Say that one more time.
When you said rules without relationship, it was something without that ended in another R.
Rules without relationship lead to rebellion?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So after God's word to children and to parents comes the last one, God's word to employees. Now let's go to the job real quick. Because it has been estimated there were more than 6 million slaves, about one-third of the population in the Roman Empire. And the Romans thought any kind of work was beneath them and just for slaves. So therefore, even doctors and teachers back then were slaves. And though Paul doesn't outright condemn slavery, which would have led to rebellion and mass bloodshed back then, he does lay the groundwork that eventually led to its destruction. In fairness to Paul, it must be noted that he puts men stealers in the same category as adulterers, perverts, and liars in 1 Timothy 1 and 10. And so the principles in this passage that relate to slaves would apply to employees today. So let's use it that way, okay? So, therefore, God's word to employees is be obedient, verse 5, to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. This means we got to respect authority in the workplace. I know we got some butthole bosses and stuff and all of that. I know that. I know we have some butthole bosses and all of that, but we still have to respect the authority in the workplace. And one way we show respect is not by whining. Did y'all hear that? Stop complaining and stop whining. Because I tell you what, all one dog got to start doing is barking in this yard, another one will start barking in another yard, and then another one will start barking at the end of the street, another one will start barking down the street, and pretty soon we got dogs barking all over town because one dog started barking. Especially in our workplaces, we need to obey Philippians 2:14. It says, I should do all things without murmurings and disputings. Wow. We will stand out at work if we are not chronic complainers. If when needed, we go the second mile without whining. We will shine as lights in a dark place, Philippians 2:15. Wow. We are to obey in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And singleness of heart literally means to have our minds focused, concentrate on our jobs, and work to the best of our ability. And Colossians 3:23 simply says, I am to work with all my heart at whatever I do as though working for the Lord and not people. So a spirit-filled Christian is eager to do a good job. That's important. Laziness and shoddy workmanship are poor testimonies and clear signs of a person is not filled with the Spirit. So a Spirit-filled living includes setting a high standard at work. And I don't know about y'all, but I pray this every day. Lord, let my light shine before men that they may see my good work and glorify my Father which is in heaven, because I'm a leader. So spirit-filled workers obey and work not only when the boss is looking as men pleases, watch verse 6 through 8, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So this has unbelievable implications, because in a lifetime, the average employee is at work about 90,000 hours, I guess. You know, I mean, can you imagine 90,000 hours or an average of 45 work years we spend at work obeying this passage? Count as doing service as to the Lord, right? Even at work. So God originally gave these commands to slaves who had no rights. They had no health insurance, no paid vacations, no salary, nothing. So think how much more binding they are today for us, who in comparison to them, I mean, labor in a worker's paradise, if you will. However, maybe you work in a place where your good work and Christian attitude goes unappreciated. So if so, You should never get discouraged, because Galatians 6:9 says, I shouldn't become weary in doing what is good, because at the proper time I will reap the harvest of blessings if I don't give up. So in his time, watch this, God will reward you beyond anything you can imagine. Just remember, spirit-filled employees respect their bosses, and they do great work. All right, that was point number 3. Any questions, any comments? I got one more point, one more little one. Oh, y'all quiet tonight. All right. So the next one is, so we got God's word to children, God's word to parents, God's word to employees. Now here's God's word to employers. Because in verse number 9, as with employees, the principle given to masters apply to employers, and they are to do the same things to their employees in verse 9. That is, employers ought to treat their employees in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Because spirit-filled employers are not to threaten their employees. This means they're not to use any form of intimidation, such as threats of firing, pay cuts. I mean, whatever the case may be, yelling and belittling are also forms of intimidation And this command forbids that. So employers may give the orders, but they must remember their employees, master, is also theirs, right? And there is no respect of persons with God. Therefore, employers will be judged just like employees, right? Because Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, I will have to give an account of my life to who? To God. I know that's right. Because God has clearly given his word to children, parents, employees, and employers. You can have a spirit-filled life at home and at work. It is very, very important that we understand that and we give credence to the fact that we've got to let our light shine no matter where we are. And that means at home, at work, I mean, whatever the case may be, because we're Christians. You may be the boss, and if you are the boss, you ought to treat people just like the Lord says, treat them. All right? So that's the end of my presentation. Any questions, any comments? Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. How do you act at work?
What did you just, what you just said about when you're the boss, that's one thing that I recognize recently, that, you know, that when you want, when you have somebody that's under, that's working with you or in a capacity that's underneath of what you do, and you're kind of like supervising them or assisting them, that you treat them the same way you would want to be treated, because the same measure that you, you know, give to them, it'll come back upon you.
I know that's right.
That's real true. That is so true.
Yeah. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, Pastor, I remember I remember when God told Israel, and I'm just paraphrasing, that, you know, they had to be hospitable to the stranger within their gates and those who were underneath them, because he always called them to say, remember that you were once a slave. And it was in the Old Testament.
You guys, you guys hold on, okay? You guys hold on. Hold on.
Go ahead, Brother Eric.
Yeah, so I, what I was saying is God was telling the people of God, which was Israel, to always remember where you came from, because you was once a slave. And so don't treat somebody else, even though you're over them, because God always hears the cry. You heard the cry of the children of Israel. And, you know, even in, and when we go into the New Testament, you always see God in the form of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, healing and attending to the needs of those who were outcasts. You know, he healed the lepers. He raised the son of the widow. You know, he talked to the Samaritan woman. So, you know, if anything, the Bible gives me a lesson that I need to be good to everybody, especially those underneath me, because those are the first ones that God usually attends to. So I don't want to bring judgment upon myself for treating anybody badly, because the gold standard is, you know, unto them, do unto them the same that you would want to be done to yourself. And that's a high standard. And it's not called the golden rule for anything. It's the highest standard. So, you know, regardless of race, creed, belief, status, you know, we to treat the people the same way we are to be treated. God gave two commandments. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hangs all the laws and all the commandments. So.
Amen. And as you were speaking, I was reminded of when it's in ministry, like when you, like that, I was told, if you want to be, you'll know if you're going to be a good leader if you're a good follower. Because you, if you're not a good follower, how can you be a good leader? And I remember that when I was in leadership in church before, it was like, well, if you want to have people follow you, let them be a witness in front of them and show them what that looks like. You know, because just trying to be a leader, just to have a title so you can go around and tell everybody what to do, that's not what God wants from us. That's not pleasing him at all. So when you were saying that, this came up because I remember that. So we have to remember that in our everyday life, like Pastor was saying, at work, at home with your friends, with your children. You know, that was one thing about this particular scripture, chapter of Ephesians that really touched me a lot, because, you know, we all, you know, most of us, I won't say everybody, you know, when you hear about Ephesians 6, the first thing comes in, you know, is about putting on the whole armor of God. But you forget about them first 9 verses that's in there that gives us clear instructions on how we are to react and interact with our children and our people that we work with and or work for.
Amen, amen. You are so right, Bubbly. And as you were talking, I thought about that too, because he starts off with the family first, and then he goes out to the workplace. And so, you know, to me it's saying that our behavior has to be consistent, you know, whether we're in the home or out the home. You know, you ever see some people, oh, they're loving at home, but, you know, they're bad at work, you know, they might have employees underneath them, and they, you know, employees can't stand them, but, you know, they might meet them, you know, in the mall or something, they're with their family, like, they're a totally different person. That person says, wow, I can't believe that, you know. And I think one of the reasons why Christianity today has such a bad rap on because the unchurched see, and the unsaved, they don't see a consistency. They don't see a loving relationship overall. I'm not just singling out a church or a group, but I'm just saying overall, one of the complaints or one of the things I always hear outside on the street, that we ain't no different than anybody else, you know. And
that's true. That's so true.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, lately, of late, that, you know, you almost can't, if you really look closely, you almost can't see the difference.
Exactly.
And that's where, you know, we have to come up a little bit better. Because how can we go out and win souls for Christ when they can say to us, well, what makes you any different from me? What is this Jesus thing you all about? You know, what's the difference between me and you?
Exactly, exactly.
Well,
who was there? There's two people speaking. Who was the first one?
Go ahead, I'll wait.
Okay, hi everyone, it's Raina. Sorry I didn't get a chance to announce myself.
Hey,
when
Raina,
the call
it's okay.
Started. Hi. So, I had to chuckle.
Okay.
I had to chuckle when Pastor said evangelistic whoopings, because that's me. I am, like, the queen of whoopings when it comes to my children. But something else that he said really touched me, which is the rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And that is so true, because our children will never be us. So how they respond and react to things aren't always going to be the same way that we would respond and react to things too. And how we were as children is very different to how these children are coming up with all the social media that they have, all the technology. Every time I turn around, my boys are saying they're on some site. I'm like, how much more do you need? You have this, you have that. They just keep adding all these new apps for these kids. And so when you parent based on how you were parented growing up, that's not going to be a successful strategy. And you really have to...
Yeah, that's got to be adjusted, right.
Right. You really have to, like you said, sit with your children and really understand what it is to be a child in today's world. I know me, I hop on Facebook and sometimes I have to give myself a break because of all the stories that are coming out, all the negativity, all of the signs that, you know, we're really entering into, if not living in, the last days. And I'm an adult. You know, so I can't imagine the sensory overload that our children are going through. And with that said, we have to not be their friends. I'm not, never would I advocate that, but open the dialogue and have a relationship with them so that we could communicate with them on their level, and that would help to eliminate where they say in 6-4, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So once you get on their level and you understand what it is that they're going through, what their world looks like, then you can help them respond to some of these things using Scripture. Does that make sense?
I like that because Pastor Mapp, Pastor Sean Mapp, you all know who he is. Pastor Sean Mapp, my son was a member of Pastor Sean Mapp's church, and my son wasn't talking to me for a while. And so I asked Mapp, I said, Mapp, can you get to the root of the problem and find out what's the problem with my son? And Mapp got back to me, and Mapp said, Jones, your son said you won't listen to him.
Mm.
You do all the talking, you won't listen. And I had to take a painstaking examination and say, wow. And now our relationship is better because I don't do all the talking. I listen. I listen because kids have valid gripes sometimes, you know, but you have to take time to listen and filter it or what have you, because what may be nothing to you may mean the world to him, but you just need to listen.
Amen.
So very well put. I like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Yeah,
anyone else?
This is
Claire,
serious.
I was getting ready to say something. Oh, I'm sorry, Claire. I think that was Claire that was getting ready to say something after Raina, if I'm incorrect, let me know.
I'm Pastor Jones.
Yeah.
No, that's when you were on hold, Pastor Jones.
Okay. Go ahead. Who was that?
This is Claire. I was just thinking about, you know, as being a supervisor, I have learned through my military career and just life in general to treat everybody the same. So I've learned to treat the janitor just like I've learned to treat the CEO. I respect the janitor and what he does in his job, and I treat them all the same. So as a supervisor, I treat my people, or not my people, but the people who work under or for me, I treat them just like I treat my boss, with the same level of respect. And because of that, we are a family. You get more work out of people when you treat them with respect. That's all.
I like that. I like that.
Hey, Pastor Jones, can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Well, this Juliet, I was just thinking about the parenting thing. You know, I lost my parents early, my mom at 17 and my dad at 3.5. And so, but, you know, what I will say this, though, with the little time that I had with my mom, she was very creative in the way she, her approach to teaching. There's a lot of reverse psychology, but she talked about life so early. And at first I was angry when I was young, you know. I was like, why are you telling me all this? She would talk about all kinds of stuff. She always told us she wanted us to be open, you know, because she was not allowed to talk, you know, because they were told, you know, children are seen and not heard. So she wanted to hear our point of view and, you know, not to hide nothing from her. And even though she was very open, there still was that respect level. We still respect her as a parent. She taught us about even about writing bills and being a parent and how, you know, showing us her paycheck and making us write out checks so we could see where the money was going. And then when she passed on and I, before I had children, I learned from my mother, learning from her, and also learning in the classroom, to be honest, in a psychology class, child psychology. So I grabbed a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so when I actually became, by the time I had my first child, I had become a Christian. But I was able to connect the dots, what my mom was teaching me, what I got out of the psychology, and then the scriptures came to life.
you know, you know, there was a scripture that talks about not being a slave, being a lender. I mean, being a lender being a slave to the borrower and stuff like, or borrowing a slave to a lender. And I'm thinking about looking at my mom, how she would pay the checks and see how the money was going out, and she even talked about credit and all kinds of stuff. So, long story short, the balance for me was, the only thing I could glean from was how she treated me, how the scriptures told me how I'm supposed to train up a child in the way he should go. So I gleaned those things, and this is how I became a parent, even though I still felt inadequate as a parent because I didn't have parents. But I thank the Lord that the little time that I had with her, she told me, taught me how to relate to my, how she related to me is how I related to my children. And I know that God was watching over me because both of them are, they're doing good. I mean, they got upset with me because I would, at an early age, when they started making money, they start putting money in the household. They gripe about that, but they know how to take care of themselves. So I just thank the Lord for the little time that I had with my mom, and that at the time that I came to Him, I was able to. That gave me the balance I need to train my children as a single parent.
And both her children, both your children got degrees, and they're good parents. And the best thing of all, they are living independently, out the house. So you did a good job, man.
You said that with authority and out the house.
Yes. Praise God.
All right. Anyone else?
Hey, Pastor Jones, what came to my mind when did anybody else on this call other than me remember your mom or your dad when they was about to whoop you or something and would tell you this will hurt you more than it hurts me? And did you take that in the same thought process when you had your kids? That's what came up for me.
Oh yeah, I got that when I was told you better go get your own belt. And I would slip up and bring one of those rugby belts that, wasn't really going to do any damage. And then I had to go get the real belt, and it was always, this is going to hurt you more than it hurt me. Man, that used to drive me crazy. I'm like, how is this beating going to hurt you more than it hurts me? I'm the one with welts. I'm crying. You're not crying. Where's your tears?
I thought my mama lost her mind when she said that.
My mother used to say that all the time. And you know what? That made such an impression on me that I don't think I've ever said that to my children. After the fact, I might say, that like this has hurt me, but I've never preferenced a whooping with the this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Because I know it's not.
Well, they say that because they really don't want to whoop you. That's why they say that.
Yeah, that part, because I know for me to even, to do that, it was like, God, when you go back and remember what that felt like, what that looked like, and, whoopings weren't they could be the worst thing depending on how far you got into it. But, I felt it, though, even though I didn't have to say it, I just felt it because, like you said, you don't really want to, you have to discipline them. That's what you're supposed to do as a good parent. But when you hit them and you just look at that face and you just think about, man, I wish you didn't do that. But you have to be disciplined some kind of way.
Right.
Maybe because I'm the queen of the evangelistic whoopings, but I really don't. Maybe once in a blue moon did I ever experience that, but I feel like if it got to that point with my children, like it was, I knew that like I had to do it, So, but only I don't think I've ever gotten to that point. I don't know. What does that mean, Pastor?
Awesome. Great dialogue tonight. Any other questions, any other comments?
Randy, that means you ain't playing. That's all that means. That's all.
I was a single mom for a long time raising boys. In the city, too. I did not have time.
Wow.
Well, you know, my mother, what she did to me and what I would and what I wound up doing to my children, she always kind of like talked to me. She always let me know why she was beating me, and really, I, you know, when she began to talk to me, I would get so guilty, I guess. I would just say, well, just beat me and get it over with. But she would always talk to me, and, you know, and your eye would be right on that belt because you're just waiting for it to, you know, to rise and fall. And, you know, and then afterward, she would always say, well, you know, you know Mommy love you, right? And, you know, I can't say no because I was too scared. Whooping was going to start back up again. But, you know, and that was something that passed down to that I did with my daughter and my other daughters and my son, that I always told them, you know, always, you know, let them know the reason why I was beating them before I actually did it. And then, you know, always, you know, let them know that I loved them afterwards. So.
All right. We're going to end the call now. All this dialogue, awesome. Remember, next week is our last lesson in Ephesians, and then we're going to have a week off because y'all got to give me a chance to really do the book of John. That's why I didn't get a chance to do the lesson for this week and probably not next week because I'm trying to do the book of John for y'all. So we got one more week of Ephesians, and then we're going to the book of John, all right?
Amen.
All right. I love every last one of you. I thank you for your due diligence and everything you do on this call and all the input. And I hope I'm being a blessing to somebody by the words that I'm teaching from the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. There you are,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen. I got the scripture for bubbly, the one that you when you were talking about. It's Proverbs 23:13-14.
Amen. About Mm-hmm. No, I'm getting ready to go handle that.
Okay.
I need to share that with a couple of people. So thank you. Thank you very much. You know,
all right.
You guys
God bless you. Wonderful
16.
Lesson,
Pat. All right. Y'all have a great evening. I love every last one of you. Eric, why don't you pray us out?
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the lesson, Lord. We thank you for the word that was revealed to us, Lord. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that we gained from there. Lord, let us not be like the man who disobeyed and walked away from the mirror, not knowing his own reflection. But, Lord, let us internalize your word, and so that we'll always be a reflection of you. Train us up, Lord. Equip us, Lord. Give us a word in season and out of season, Lord. We thank you. We ask that you continue to bless the pastor and everybody on this line, Lord. Lord, watch over us as we sleep tonight, Lord. And if it be your will, wake us up, renew, refresh, revive, and ready to do your will. We give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love y'all, family.
Love y'all.
Love you.
Amen. God bless.